cancer shoots up by 42%. Anti-nutrient number 6, glutamates. Now we move on to our pal glutamates, most frequently talked about as monosodium glutamate or MSG. Many people mistakenly think MSG is a preservative. Were that the case, it might actually have a semi-plausible excuse for being in food. No, glutamates are flavor enhancers. Glutamates do exist in natural foods like cheese and meat, but the low levels of bound glutamates in natural foods are nowhere near the levels of free glutamates currently being exploited by the processed foods industry. You've chowed on MSG in everything from canned ravioli, soup and canned tuna to bouillon, ice cream, and ranch dressing. A recent New York Times article noted that Doritos have 5 kinds of glutamates. Glutamates are produced by hydrolyzing proteins, a process that frees the glutamates from the protein. When added to foods, glutamates enhance the savory taste experience. Indeed, we probably have taste receptors for glutamates, just like we have taste receptors for salty, sweet, bitter, and sour tastes. Sounds good, right? But it turns out that high levels of free glutamates also mess with your brain chemistry, big time. Glutamates are a form of excitotoxin, which studies as far back as the 1950s have shown to be devastating to the nervous system. Excitotoxins dive into the brain with relative ease, excite brain cells, and can rapidly cause permanent brain damage and eventual cell death. One area of the brain particularly vulnerable to excess glutamates is the hypothalamus, ground zero for hunger hormones like neuropeptide Y. Although the debate about MSG's safety remains heated, some researchers assert that animals fed MSG sustained damage to their hypothalamus that led to obesity and endocrine problems later in life. One possible reason is that MSG damages your leptin receptors, causing your body to produce more while simultaneously creating leptin resistance in the brain. The worst part? Some processed foods not only have one form of glutamate, they may have 2, 3, or even 4 kinds. As with all these scary chemicals, who's to say what their synergistic effects could be? By padding their foods with several varieties of glutamates, food companies want you to love their food, so you'll keep coming back for more. This is your brain on corn chips. Just say no. While whether to eat some of these foods is a black and white issue, may another gram of hydrogenated fat never pass your lips. For example, some foods are okay in smaller quantities. Let me mention some less than stellar options in our food supply and set an upper limit to how much you should have. Your hormone levels may be fine with small quantities, but they may become overwhelmed with more. Here's a short list, but you can find a more detailed discussion of each item in the PDF file that accompanies the program. Starchy root vegetables, like potatoes. Tropical dried and canned fruits. Excess soy. Excess alcohol. Full-fat dairy and fatty meats. Canned foods and caffeine. Now, the good stuff. You've taken the first step and eliminated the foods and other products that stand in the way of your normal hormonal function. Now we're going to talk about how to choose the foods that will optimize those hormones and get your metabolism working harder and burning higher than it has for a long time. Later, you're going to revel in all the delicious foods you add to your diet. On my website, you can get tons of recipes and personal meal plans that incorporate these great foods. Like I've said before, I want you to eat, but I want you to eat foods that work for you, not against you. Step 2, restore. Now that we've removed the anti-nutrients that spur your hormones to store fat, we can focus on restoring the foods that trigger your fat loss hormones. Following is a list of 10 power nutrient food groups that you should consume as often as possible. I mean it. Let's look at what each one does for your body and how each helps you restore your body's metabolism. Power nutrient food group number 1, legumes. Beans and other legumes, best choice red beans, do have carbs, but the best kind. For example, beans are one of the richest sources of soluble fiber, which is key to good blood sugar control. They also have resistant starch, RS1, which resists being digested in the small intestine until it can pass into the large intestine. There, the resistant starch ferments, rebuilds the intestinal lining, and creates short-chain fatty acids, which fight systemic inflammation, cancer, and bad bugs in the gut, like E. coli and Candida. Resistant starch also helps lower insulin levels, probably because it takes so long to digest that it slows down the release of blood sugar. One study found that by adding 5% resistant starch to your meal, you increase your post-meal fat burn, and 80% of that fat comes from your belly and hips, 20% from the fat in your meal. Gotta love that. Plus, when you eat the resistant starch in beans, you feel fuller, store less fat, lower your cholesterol and triglycerides, and improve your whole body's insulin sensitivity. Many beans contain phytoestrogens, but unlike isoflavone-enriched processed soy products, these phytoestrogens are shown to reduce levels of circulating estrogen. Beans are also high in zinc and B vitamins, both proven testosterone boosters. Power nutrient food group number 2, the allium family. Garlic, best choice, and the other alliums, onions, leeks, chives, shallots, and scallions are incredible body detoxers. They stimulate the body to produce glutathione, an antioxidant that lives within each cell, ready to fight free radicals where they live throughout the body. Glutathione's action is especially important in the liver, where it helps to remove pharmaceuticals and other endocrine-disrupting chemicals. A certain type of flavonoids in onions, called anthocyanins, are incredible free radical destroyers, and emerging science suggests they may also help fight obesity and diabetes. Garlic and its siblings also help to lower total cholesterol, but raise HDL by decreasing the liver's synthesis of cholesterol. 2 cloves of garlic a day might be as potent as some cholesterol-lowering drugs. Although studies in rats suggest that garlic's allicin may enhance testosterone levels, it's a little early to know. But garlic already does so much. If they prove it does increase testosterone, so much the better. Leeks are especially cool. They take the best aspects of garlic and onions, especially manganese, a blood sugar stabilizer, and combine them with fiber, turning them into an all-around fantastic choice to keep insulin levels stable. Power nutrient food group number 3, berries. Berries, best choice, have high quantities of polyphenols, the same phytochemicals that give wine and chocolate a lot of their health-protecting qualities. But unlike wine and chocolate, berries are not fattening and have no caffeine. Berries owe their beautiful colors to anthocyanins, flavonoids that just might trip our fat-burning genes in the right direction. One Japanese researcher found that anthocyanins stop individual fat cells from getting larger and encourage fat cells to release adiponectin, a hormone that helps reduce inflammation, lower blood sugar, and reverse leptin and insulin resistance. Another study found that anthocyanins can reduce blood glucose levels after starch-rich meals, preventing insulin spikes that lead to diabetes. Certain polyphenols found in raspberries and strawberries block the digestive enzyme activity of specific starches and fats, reducing your body's absorption of them. Combine this activity with the soluble fiber in berries and you have a sweet treat that works hard to help you lose weight and keep your blood sugar where you want it, low. Power nutrient food group number 4, meat and eggs. Did you cringe a little when I said you'd be eating foods that grew from the ground or had a mother? This is the mother part. On this plan, you're going to eat meat. All different kinds, but primarily those high in beneficial fats like CLAs or omega-3s. Meat is the best source of the amino acids you need to build muscle. Best choice, Alaskan wild salmon. Meat and eggs both have amino acid L-arginine, critical to the production of protein and to the release of growth hormone in the body. L-arginine is also a precursor to nitric oxide, NO, a beneficial gas that improves the functioning of your endothelium, the lining of your blood vessel walls, to decrease clotting and increase blood flow. NO is the driving force behind Viagra, if you catch my meaning. The amino acid tyrosine not only keeps a lid on your appetite and reduces body fat, it also supports the healthy function of your thyroid, pituitary, and adrenal glands. Leucine, another amino acid found in meat, eggs, and fish, also helps the body produce growth hormone, as well as regulate blood sugar levels and grow the muscles that help all your hormones work better, especially insulin and testosterone. You know those 25 years of trying to reduce dietary cholesterol to keep your blood cholesterol levels down? Yeah, forget that. All sex steroids are created from cholesterol, so your body needs the cholesterol in meat and eggs to make that precious testosterone. In fact, many experts now believe that there is little connection between dietary cholesterol and unhealthy blood cholesterol. Oops, they're bad. Turns out whole eggs are a nearly perfect food, with almost every essential vitamin and mineral our bodies need to function. Pair an egg with an orange and you'll get the one thing that's missing, vitamin C. Protein increases your metabolic rate because it takes more energy to burn than carbs or fats. When you eat protein and fat, especially the omega-3s found in organic free-range eggs, meat, and fatty deep-sea fish, ghrelin levels drop and the stomach releases more of the neuropeptide CCK, slowing down digestion and lowering your appetite. Salmon, which is rich in omega-3s, is also a good source of selenium, which is critical to your thyroid, and vitamin D, which helps to preserve muscle. Salmon is also the perfect food when you have PMS. One serving of salmon gives you a huge amount of tryptophan, the precursor to serotonin, a brain chemical associated with calm and positive moods. And eating fish also helps to reduce your body's production of prostaglandins. Prostaglandins act like hormones in the body, but rather than move their messages around the bloodstream, they stay right in the cells. You can blame prostaglandins for inflammation, pain, and fever in your body, and cramps. But while omega-6 fatty acids produce prostaglandins, salmon's omega-3 fatty acids can help blunt their effects. The omega-3s in salmon and organic free-range meats and eggs also help to manage blood sugar and fight obesity. A dose of 1.8 grams of eicosapentaenoic acid, EPA, a day, most easily achievable with fish oil capsules, has been shown to increase adiponectin levels, increasing insulin sensitivity. Another study suggests that fish may help the body become more sensitive to leptin and less likely to become leptin resistant. Many vegetarians might argue that you can get omega-3s from vegetable sources, but no plant source of omega-3s would ever get you close to this beneficial dose. Our bodies convert only 5% of ALA omega-3s from flaxseed, walnuts, and other tree nuts to EPA, and even less to DHA. By all means, include these in your diet, but don't count on them to get you to a desirable threshold for healthy fats. For that, don't mess around. Eat organic meat, eggs, fatty fish, and, for good measure, take mercury-free fish oil capsules. Because we have to face the one huge, unavoidable bummer of fish, toxins. Were it not for that, you could eat fish every day of the week and I'd be happy, and so would your hormones. Power nutrient food group number 5, colorful fruits and vegetables. By seeking out vegetables of varying colors, best choice tomatoes, you'll automatically get a range of phytonutrients, each of which has its own particular health-promoting strengths. These colorful plant foods also happen to be incredible sources of soluble and insoluble fiber, both essential for hormone balance and impossible to get from animal products. When people think vegetables, they often think of greens. Some of the most powerful leafy and cruciferous veggies are green, and we'll address them in a moment. But some of my favorites are the vibrant colored vegetables in orange, yellow, red, and purple. The UCLA Center for Human Nutrition's color code system divides vegetables into several distinct color groups. I've adapted their system here. Orange. Foods high in beta-carotene include many orange vegetables such as carrots, sweet potatoes, cantaloupes, and mangoes. Researchers believe beta-carotene may help cells speak with one another a bit more fluently, increasing the body's ability to avoid cancer. Beta-carotene also plays an important role in the production of progesterone during pregnancy. Yellow. Most citrus foods fall into this category, and the vitamin C in citrus can also help us to manage stress. One German study made subjects stand in front of a huge group of people and do math problems. Those who had received 1 gram of vitamin C had much less cortisol and lower blood pressure than those who had not. Purple. We talk about some of the powerhouse purples in the berry section. Other purple fruits and vegetables, including grapes and olives, have high levels of resveratrol, a type of plant antibiotic with tremendous promise in anti-aging, anti-inflammatory, and blood sugar lowering effects. Even when rats were fed diets high in hydrogenated trans fats, resveratrol reduced their risk of death by 30%. Red. All red fruits and veggies share the phytochemical lycopene, a powerful cancer-fighting antioxidant. Several studies found that those men with the highest blood levels of lycopene had the lowest risk of developing prostate cancer. Lycopene also halts oxidative stress, the process by which LDL particles harden and gunk up the arteries. When healthy adults avoided lycopene for 2 weeks, their fat oxidation jumped by 25%. One of the richest sources of lycopene on the colorful vegetable and fruit list actually qualifies as both, the tomato. 1 cup of tomatoes gets you almost 60% of your daily value of vitamin C for just 37 calories. You might not imagine it, but tomatoes are also a very good source of fiber. 1 cup yields almost 8% of your daily needs and helps you counter high blood sugar. Power nutrient food group number 6, cruciferous vegetables. When you chew cruciferous vegetables, best choice broccoli, you release enzymes that start the chemical process that gives these vegetables their unbeatable cancer-fighting properties. The byproducts of this process, isothiocyanates, are like little assassins in the body, eliminating carcinogens before they can cause genetic damage and helping to prevent bladder, cervical, colon, endometrium, lung, and prostate cancer. They can even correct problems in hormone metabolism, such as preventing estrogen from stimulating breast cancer cells. Add to this that sulforaphane, found in cruciferous vegetables such as broccoli, cabbage, and cauliflower, was shown to help your body repair itself from damage brought on by diabetes. Sulforaphane can help your blood vessels defend against damage caused by hypoglycemia. Researchers believe these compounds can also help prevent the heart disease that often comes with diabetes. Don't forget our nutrient density credo. These babies pack this serious nutritional power in spite of having fewer calories in every mouthful, primarily because of their high water and fiber content. That fiber fills you up and can increase your body's ability to burn fat by up to 30%. Studies have consistently shown that people who eat the most fiber gain the least amount of weight. Power nutrient food group number 7, dark green leafy vegetables. More than 1,000 plants have leaves we can eat, but how many do we eat? If we eat just 5 servings a day, we cut our risk of developing diabetes by 20%. Several studies have found that leafy greens, best choice spinach, more so than other vegetables, play a significant role in decreasing our risk of diabetes, possibly because of their fiber and magnesium, which helps thyroid hormone secretion, metabolism, and overall nerve and muscle function. The manganese in green leaves is also essential for normal glucose metabolism. The vitamin C in leafy greens can be helpful to the adrenal glands as well. The adrenals release vitamin C during stress, but taking mega doses of it may lead to an increased risk of diabetes. The best way to get your vitamin C is through natural sources such as romaine lettuce and turnip greens, both excellent choices. The high levels of iron in spinach and Swiss chard are great for bringing oxygen to your muscles. When you don't have enough, your metabolism takes a big hit. By blocking the formation of prostaglandins, leafy greens also help prevent system-wide inflammation, reducing arthritis pain and blood clotting. The soluble fiber in dark green leafy veggies is considered a prebiotic, which means it helps to feed the good probiotic bacteria in your gut also known to prevent inflammation. Believe it or not, leafy greens even contain a very small amount of omega-3 fats. On their own, they won't get you all the omega-3s you need, but one serving of spinach will give you half the amount in a serving of canned tuna, and even a gram of protein. Power nutrient food group number 8, nuts and seeds. When my clients are weaning themselves off yucky trans fat snacks, I turn them on to raw nuts like almonds, pecans, or walnuts. Nuts and seeds hit all the right snacking notes. Best choices, almonds and walnuts. Yet behind the scenes, they're helping to protect you from heart disease, diabetes, and inflammation. The Adventist Health Study found that eating nuts on a regular basis cuts your overall risk of heart attack by 60%. Much long-term research has credited omega-3s, antioxidants, fiber, L-arginine, and magnesium with a role in helping to tamp down inflammation. And all of these precious nutrients can be found in nuts. When people eat nuts, they tend to have lower levels of C-reactive protein, CRP, and interleukin-6, IL-6, both markers of inflammation. Many people are afraid of nuts because of their fat. I am more concerned about their calories. Perhaps both fears are groundless. Research suggests that people who eat nuts twice a week are much less likely to gain weight than those who don't eat nuts. Pine nuts are especially good at helping to prevent hunger because they stimulate the gut to produce the satiety hormone CCK. Seeds also help reduce the risk of diabetes as they are a source of resistant starch just like beans. Resistant starch helps reduce blood sugar and dampen insulin spikes after eating. Flaxseed in particular is a great source of the vegetable-based omega-3 alpha-linolenic acid, ALA, which also prevents inflammation. Pumpkin seeds are a good source of omega-3s as well as zinc, a key component in testosterone production and prostate health. Power nutrient food group number 9, organic dairy. Research is piling up that shows what a critical role dairy's calcium plays in weight control. Best choice, organic, low-fat, plain yogurt. Even small deficiencies of calcium change fat-burning signals in the cells and have a dampening effect on metabolism. But calcium doesn't just impact weight. A study of 9,000 people in the journal Circulation suggests that calcium also protects against the development of metabolic syndrome. Grass-fed dairy products have saturated and trans fats, but they also include the best kind, conjugated linoleic acids, or CLAs, shown to improve body composition. CLAs help to drive fat out of fatty tissues, where it can be burned up more easily. The combination of these healthy fats with dairy's high protein also stimulates the appetite-suppressing hormone, CCK. Organic free-range dairy tastes better and has no antibiotics or hormones, and more omega-3s. Bonus, the zinc in dairy also helps to support healthy levels of appetite-suppressing leptin. Most dairy foods in this country are fortified with vitamin D, which helps the body absorb calcium. Adequate vitamin D not only helps prevent osteoporosis, it has also been linked with lower risks of cancer, type 1 and type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure, glucose intolerance, and even MS. Recent research proves that our country is incredibly vitamin D deficient. Dairy is critical, especially if you live at a higher latitude and don't get much sun during the fall, winter, and spring. The best dairy food is, by far, yogurt, primarily because of its probiotics. Remember that you are 1/10 human, 9/10 bug. Your gut is where most of those good bugs live, ideally trillions of them. The probiotics in plain organic yogurt join up with the bifidobacteria, the good bugs already in your gut, to help fight against infections and protect you from yeast overgrowth. Bifidobacteria also digest the foods we eat, creating critical vitamins, including enzymes that metabolize cholesterol and bile acid. Without these microbes, the whole digestive system would squeak to a halt. Power nutrient food group number 10. Whole grains. Grains make up 25% of our diet, but 95% of that is from refined sources. That's just criminal, because whole grains can really help improve our hormone levels and our overall health in countless ways. Best choice, tie between oats and barley. Most people don't realize that many whole grains are even better sources of phytochemicals and antioxidants than some vegetables, making them even more potent in the fight against heart disease and more than a dozen different kinds of cancer. Part of the power of whole grains comes from their three kinds of carbohydrate: fiber, resistant starch, R1, and oligosaccharides that skip over the small intestine so they can be fermented in the stomach. The fermentation process of these prebiotics creates beneficial short-chain fatty acids such as butyric acid. Butyric acid fights colon cancer cells while it simultaneously feeds the healthy cells of the colon. When colon cells are strong, they can help the body detox from pharmaceuticals and other environmental chemicals, just like the liver does. The short-chain fatty acids from whole grains may also help us eat less because they stimulate fat cells in our stomachs to release leptin, the satiety hormone. These high levels of fiber in whole grains also help us feel satisfied by filling us up, slowing blood sugar release, and steadying insulin levels. For this and other reasons, eating whole grains can even help reverse insulin resistance. Epidemiological studies link high intakes of whole grain foods with lower levels of type 2 diabetes, and you need only 3 servings a day to reduce your risk by 30%. The trick is you have to eat grains truly whole. Even just grinding whole grains changes their cell structure and makes them more easily digested. Set your mind to it. You'll never want to go back to those refined carbs. Go organic. What is the best way you can be sure to avoid 90% of all hormone-disrupting agents in our food supply? Go organic. The term organic applies to a farming method that raises food without pesticides or other chemicals. The idea is that by allowing natural processes and biodiversity to enrich the soil, as opposed to relying upon synthetic chemicals or genetically modified seeds to protect the crops from pests, we'll get healthier food and, imagine that, a healthier environment. Organics help you stay slim and prevent diabetes. More than 90% of endocrine-disrupting pesticides that hang around in our body tissues come from foods we consume, especially animal products. Organics help you avoid scary hormones. The FDA currently permits 6 kinds of steroid hormones to be used in producing cattle and sheep. 80% of U.S. feedlot cattle are fed or injected with steroid hormones. Each of these cows gains up to 3 pounds per day. Organics help you avoid pesticides and other chemicals. A study at the University of Washington found that the urine of kids who ate mostly conventional, i.e., pesticide-laden diets, had 9 times the organophosphorus pesticide concentration of kids who ate mostly organic. Organics help you prevent antibiotic resistance. Massive use of antibiotics in the meat industry and dairy industries leads to widespread antibiotic resistance, exposing us to potentially fatal bacteria such as methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, or MRSA, M-R-S-A. Organics make your food taste better. Organic food is and will always be fresher than non-organic food. Without pesticides and chemical preservatives, organic produce has to be eaten faster or it will rot. Organics in season make your diet more diverse. You'll switch up your fruits and veggies repertoire: asparagus in the spring, tomatoes all summer, kale and sweet potatoes in the fall, and get more phytochemicals automatically. Organics make your food more nutritious. Organic fruits and vegetables can't rely on pesticides. They have to fight off bugs with their own immune systems, naturally raising their antioxidant levels. Organics help you save the earth. Produce grown in the United States travels an average of 1,500 miles before it gets sold. But organic farming uses 30% less fossil fuels while it conserves water, reduces soil erosion, maintains soil quality, and removes carbon dioxide from the air. Okay, I'll admit it. Organics can be pricey. According to the New York Times, organic food can be anywhere from 20% to 100% more expensive than traditionally produced foods. But the health safety issues, not to mention the environmental impact, are too great to put a price on. And the scary research will keep piling up. Think of it this way. Every time you spend a few extra bucks to buy organic, you're saving thousands of dollars in copays for chemotherapy or diabetes drugs. You've removed the toxins, you've restored the nutrients, but exactly when and how much and in what combinations to eat the foods on the Master Your Metabolism plan. We'll talk about that next, learning how to rebalance the energy into your body in ways that will improve your overall hormone levels, trigger the fat-burning ones, and turn off the fat storage ones. Step 3, rebalance. Thus far in the program, we've focused on the what foods to remove and what foods to restore to optimize your hormones. Right now, we'll focus on the how and the when to rebalance your hormones. The timing, quantity, and combinations of your meals have a great impact on your hormones and metabolism. We'll focus on when to eat what foods and when not to capitalize on hormone patterns that lead to weight loss. Rebalance features 3 key techniques. Eat every 4 hours, eat until you're full but not stuffed, and combine foods correctly. Let's take a look at each one in turn. Rebalance technique number 1, eat every 4 hours. On the Master Your Metabolism diet, you'll eat 3 meals and 1 snack. Breakfast, lunch, mid-afternoon snack, dinner. Every day, no excuses. I know everyone has a different way of scheduling their meals, and I want you to go with that. You know your body better than I ever will. That said, I have 3 ironclad rules about meal timing that you must adhere to, or you run the risk of blowing much of the good work you've done so far. Number 1, you must eat breakfast. Number 2, you must eat every 4 hours. Number 3, you must not eat after 9 p.m., and especially never eat carbs before bed. Period. These 3 rules will help you tap into your body's natural hormonal rhythms and instinctive calorie burning patterns. Using these techniques in combination with the remove and restore aspects of the plan will guarantee weight loss. Belly up to the breakfast table. I know how some of you feel about this one, but I'm sorry. I don't want to hear it. Jillian, I don't have time to eat in the morning. Jillian, anything more than coffee makes me want to puke. Get over it. Less than half of us eat breakfast every day, but studies have shown that breakfast is one of the most reliable ways to achieve a healthy weight and keep your glucose and insulin steady. In fact, women who don't eat breakfast are 4.5 times more likely to be obese than women who do. People who never eat breakfast are also the most likely to develop type 2 diabetes. Breaking your fast jumpstarts your metabolism and prevents energy sags later in the day. If you're a guy, your testosterone levels peak at about 8 a.m. and reach their lowest point during the early evening. By timing your biggest meal in the morning, you'll be able to capitalize on that surge of metabolic power. One Dutch study found that people who ate a big breakfast rich in complex carbs, such as you'd get from oatmeal, high-fiber cereal, or a veggie omelet with whole grain toast, felt satisfied and full for a longer time, in part because breakfast reduced their ghrelin levels by 33%. If nothing else, promise me you will always eat something before you work out in the morning. During the night, about 80% of your glycogen stores, the digested carbs waiting to be tapped as energy, have been used up. If you work out on an empty stomach, you'll go through the last 20% almost immediately and then quickly begin to gobble up your lean muscle mass. Definitely not what you're trying to do here. Eat every 4 hours. Let me rephrase. You must eat every 4 hours. I plan the diet this way not only because eating often makes me happy, but because I know it makes my metabolism happy too. You not only don't have to live with a rumbling stomach, you shouldn't. When you eat meals spaced 4 hours apart, your body doesn't get a chance to miss food, so it doesn't develop a scarcity mentality. If you feed your body every 4 hours, you'll prevent the massive fat storage that comes from feast or famine eating. The act of eating and digesting accounts for 10% of your body's metabolic rate. Starve yourself for any portion of the day and you cheat yourself out of a good portion of this bump. The most important part of eating regularly is that it stabilizes your blood sugar and your hormones. Your blood sugar remains steady throughout the day, and because your meals are smaller, your insulin does not spike as dramatically. The body trusts that there's more where that came from, so it happily burns your meal for energy, confident that you'll feed it more later. Additionally, by eating every 4 hours, you keep your hunger hormone ghrelin in check and keep your leptin levels stable. These two hormones are to blame when you skip meals, become ravenous, and are much more likely to overeat. In fact, ghrelin does its job so well that when it's surging in your bloodstream, it can actually make food taste up to 20% better. Don't eat after 9 p.m., especially carbs. One of the biggest risks of skipping meals during the day is that you then overeat at night. Your body uses calories throughout the day, but any big surplus gets stored as fat. One study in the journal Metabolism found that people who skipped meals during the day and ate a big meal between 4 p.m. and 8 p.m. ended up with some very ominous measurements. Higher fasting blood glucose in the morning, higher blood sugar overall, higher levels of ghrelin, an impaired insulin response, an indicator of insulin resistance. Scary, right? Yet so many people I've worked with have done this. Work hard all day, ignoring their need for food because they're too busy to eat, and then at the end of a long day, they reward themselves with a nice, relaxing, diabetes-inducing meal. Your levels of fat storage hormone cortisol dip after breakfast and lunch, but not after dinner or evening snacks. Eating more calories during the evening will pack more fat around your belly, where you have more cortisol receptors than other places in your body. Eating the bulk of your calories after dark also sends your bad LDL up and good HDL down. The rate at which food will leave your stomach, also known as your gastric emptying rate, slows down at night. Plus, your ability to process glucose gets weaker as the day goes on. If you eat a carb-heavy meal at 8 p.m., your body reacts much differently than if you eat a carb-heavy meal at 8 a.m. The old adage, eat like a king at breakfast, a prince at lunch, a pauper at dinner, is right on the money. Although, I'd stick another pauper in there somewhere. Rebalance technique number 2. Eat until you're full, but not stuffed. This diet is not about counting calories. When you restore nutritious foods to your diet, nature will take care of portion control for you. While you're still in the process of adopting these practices, though, consider the merits of rebalancing your energy in. Eat until you're full. You need to eat enough to fuel your metabolism. As I said earlier, when you eat too few calories, you overtax your thyroid and train your body to do more with less. And while economizing might be a good strategy for your financial health, it sucks as a dietary strategy. That said, eating until you're full of fast food is not allowed. When you eat healthy, fresh, whole foods until you're full, you will find that your calories are within a perfect range. Not too little and not too much. For girls, this is anywhere from 1,200 to 1,800. For boys, this is anywhere from 1,800 to 3,000. The difference in calorie allowances has to do with age and activity level. Severe diets make your body start eating its own muscle. Drastically reducing your calorie levels for just 4 days can reduce blood levels of leptin by almost 40%. Do it for a month and leptin plummets 54%. When you cut calories to lose weight, the lower your leptin levels go, the more hungry you become. A recipe for yo-yo dieting. Eating nutrient-dense, high-fiber, high-water content, power nutrient foods will also help you fill up without any fear of overeating calories. As you eat these high-volume foods, your stomach starts to stretch a bit. This distension triggers the release of satiety peptides. Translation, you'll feel full faster with fewer calories, and the fiber will help you stay satisfied longer. When you give your body the foods it recognizes, it eagerly absorbs the nutrients critical to optimal hormonal production and puts them to work right away. But not until you're stuffed. Now for the bad news. If you've been eating at least one large meal a day, you probably stretched out your stomach, making it difficult to feel full and trigger your satiety hormones. You may even have leptin resistance. Your body could be releasing leptin to let you know it's full, but you ignore the hormone and continue eating. Great news! You can return to a state of balance and get your appetite back in check, but you have to follow these rules. Eating smaller meals 4 times a day will help shrink it back to normal size. When it does, you'll be equally satisfied, but faster with less food. To train yourself to eat smaller portions, Use a salad plate or a small bowl instead of a bigger dinner plate. Many dieting studies have proven that this advice works, possibly because of what marketing researchers at Washington University call the partitioning effect. When people are given $100 to spend, those who receive it in 10 envelopes of $10 each spend $50. Those who are given one envelope with $100 blow the whole thing. The same effect works with food, because when you reach one partition, finishing the food on a smaller plate, say, you have to make a conscious choice to reach for more. Rebalance technique number 3, combine foods correctly. I don't know about you, but I am sick to death of the entire no-carb, low-carb, no-fat, high-fat conversation. Balance, that's all we need. Our bodies are built for balance. From now on, you're going to include a bit of protein, fat, and carbs in every meal and snack, except the evening snack, which will focus on protein. As we talked about during our discussion of power nutrient foods, each individual nutrient performs a critical service to our hormone production. Take any one nutrient away and you start to slow down your metabolism. We need fat. They're called essential fatty acids for a reason. We have to get these fats from our diet to avoid malnourishment. Animal and vegetable fats provide valuable concentrated energy. They also provide the building blocks for cell membranes and a variety of hormones and hormone-like substances. Fats slow the absorption of nutrients so that you can go longer without feeling hungry, and they aid in sugar and insulin metabolism, which helps you lose weight. Without fat, carbohydrates would take our blood sugar and insulin for a nonstop roller coaster ride. They act as carriers for the important fat-soluble vitamins A, D, E, and K, and all the carotenoids. Heart-healthy omega-3s help keep our triglycerides in check and may improve insulin resistance, and some fats, like CLAs, actually help us to burn stored fat from our bodies. People who tend toward insulin resistance need about 30% fat in their diet to help them lose weight. Some studies have shown that when they try to lose weight by following low-fat diets, they either fail initially or can't keep the weight off long-term. Some researchers even argue that saturated fat, long maligned as the prime factor in the development of heart disease and obesity, is actually innocent and may be beneficial to weight loss. Okay, got it? Fat is good. Check. We need protein. I'm pretty sure I won't have to fight with you on this one. You need protein to maintain and build muscle. Just the act of eating protein can help your body burn up to 35% more calories in digestion. Protein stimulates the production of the satiety hormone CCK and dampens levels of ghrelin. When carbohydrates are eaten without protein, insulin levels go through the roof. Critics have traditionally said that higher protein diets are unsustainable, that people will automatically rebound to carb craving. But research has not borne this out. In fact, quite the opposite. Numerous studies on higher protein diets have now found that people who follow them are better able to sustain their weight loss for longer periods of time. They have better body compositions, they lower their cholesterol, triglyceride, blood sugar, and insulin levels, and they increase their metabolisms more than when they began. The longer you follow a diet with 30% protein, the more the post-meal fat-burning effects work for you. Researchers found that someone who regularly eats a 30% protein lunch may burn 10 more extra calories per minute than the person who routinely eats less than 20% protein. This effect lasts more than 3 hours after you eat, just in time for your next meal. Even concerns about the increased heart attack risk of higher protein diets have begun to fall apart. One Swedish study found that 66% of the control subjects who ate normal diets suffered a stroke or heart attack during the 4-year study versus only 8% of the test subjects on the higher protein diet. I think I like those higher protein odds a wee bit better. Protein is good. Check. We need carbs. All that being said, we humans simply cannot function without carbs. Carbs give us energy. Without them, we couldn't think, walk, dance, drive, or do anything. We need them to live. One study found that women who severely restricted their carbs for 3 days belly flopped into a vat of carbs by the 4th day, eating 44% more calories from carbohydrate foods than they had initially. Carbs give our food texture and crunch, variety and color. They make us happy, literally, by feeding our neurotransmitters. And people who eat 3 servings of whole grains a day are 30% less likely to develop type 2 diabetes. Carbs are also the vehicles for so many of nature's disease fighters. Phytochemicals come only from plants. People, you can't get vitamin C from a bunless burger. Without carbs, we'd be sitting ducks for cancer, heart disease, metabolic syndrome, chronic inflammation, and digestive problems. And as much as we've abused the vegetables in this country for years and years, pouring our toxic chemicals all over them, they may yet help to save us from ourselves. Eating fiber, a carbohydrate that can come only from plant sources, is one of the few ways we can help our bodies flush out the toxins that have built up in our tissues and messed with our endocrine systems for years. Remember, the key here is good carbs. Vegetables, fruits, whole grains. You've been paying attention, right? If so, I shouldn't have to reiterate this point, but I did, just in case. So yes, we need carbs. Carbs are good. Check. Part 3, the master tools. As we've seen, our bodies are literally under assault in the modern world. Some toxins we ingest, such as refined sugars, artificial sweeteners, additives, and prescription medicines. Some come from our environment, air and water pollution, cosmetics, petrochemical and industrial wastes and heavy metals. Some we even inflict upon ourselves, overwork, overeating, lack of sleep. All these chemicals and habits wreak havoc on our biochemistry and cellular health. And the more of these toxic chemicals and habits we have, the greater our bioburden, the combined impact of all these endocrine disruptors. Now that we've cleaned up your diet, we have to clean up everything else. We have to remove the remaining toxins in your home, restore any remaining nutritional deficiencies, and rebalance your energy to fight back against the crushing stress that can send hormones reeling. By the time you're done here, you will have erased many of the remaining hormonal threats and rebooted your metabolism entirely. But don't look at the suggestions here as one program. That would be a tall order and a lot to handle. Treat them as small steps with a cumulative effect. These suggestions represent a best-case scenario for reducing your bio burden. If you do half of them, you'll be in great shape. Consult the PDF file that comes with this audio program to get the nitty-gritty on toxins you'll need to remove from your kitchen, your bathroom, and other parts of your home. Go look at those details and let's get to work. Once you've made your home a toxin-free zone, you can turn to step 2, restore lost nutrients. Due to changes in farming methods, the sad state of our soil, and the lack of biodiversity in this country, even our whole food is not nearly as nutritious as it once was. And under constant assault from the environment we live in, our bodies need certain nutrients to help us cope properly with the toxicity. Considering all of this, it's not surprising that more than 80% of Americans are severely nutrient deficient. That's why, after we restore whole, nutritious foods to your diet, we must also restore lost nutrients that you cannot get any other way, because certain missing vitamins and minerals are essential for hormone production. What you need, first and foremost, are a quality multivitamin, a calcium supplement, and a fish oil supplement. No matter what brands you pick, try to find a multivitamin that includes the following key vitamins and nutrients, each essential for proper hormone function. Once again, check out the PDF where you'll find a list of the daily nutrient intakes recommended by the Linus Pauling Institute at Oregon State University, a world-renowned research center on the science of micronutrients. With a high-quality multi-calcium supplement and fish oil capsule, combined with a master diet, you should get to these levels quite easily. So we've removed the toxins and restored the nutrients. Now it's time to rebalance. You could follow this diet to the letter, get rid of all the toxins in your house, take the perfect vitamin supplements every day. But if you don't learn how to manage your stress and rebalance your energy, you're still sabotaging your hormones. I'm all about hard work, but I believe in full recovery as well. Let's look at how you can let your endocrine system take a breather so it can repair itself and allow your hormones to rebalance to their optimal levels again. Rebalance energy tactic number one, sleep at least 7 hours a night. A full night's sleep is not a luxury. It is a basic necessity for healthy hormone balance. Once you dip below 7 hours a night, you're at a much greater risk of diabetes, cancer, heart disease, stroke, depression, and many, many more pounds. Some researchers believe that slow wave sleep, the deep, dreamless sleep that you ideally sink into about 3 or 4 times a night, may actually regulate your metabolism. In fact, stage 4 slow wave sleep, which begins about an hour after we fall asleep, is when we release our greatest pulses of growth hormone, the hormone that prompts the body to burn stored fat. When we're young, we spend about 20% of our sleep in slow wave stages 3 and 4. But as we get older, we may only spend about 10 or even 5% there. Sadly, just 2 nights of bad sleep will cut your satiety hormone leptin by 20% and increase your hunger hormone ghrelin by 30%. That 1-2 punch makes you much more likely to snack on high-carb treats, which couldn't come at a worse time for your insulin levels. And a University of Chicago study found that just 3 nights of poor sleep makes your body 25% less sensitive to insulin, equivalent to the insulin resistance brought on by 20 to 30 extra pounds. In order to block fat storage hormones and allow the full release of fat-burning hormones, you need to get at least 7 hours a night. Don't forget this one caveat. Absolutely no carbs before bed. Your level of hunger hormone ghrelin needs to be high in order to slip into stage 3 or 4 sleep. Carbs depress ghrelin faster than any other nutrient, so eating anything, especially carbs before bed, can delay your entry into deeper sleep for several hours. The release of growth hormone is possible only when the body is in a semi-fasting state, so the insulin spike that comes after carbs will automatically interfere with growth hormone release. I am fanatical about restricting carbs before bed. Why would you knowingly eat something that interferes with restorative sleep and blocks one of the most beneficial hormone releases of the entire day? Don't do it. Rebalance energy tactic number 2. Move your body every day. Exercise is the number one form of preventive medicine and dramatically affects your hormone balance. When you really put energy into it, exercise releases fat-burning growth hormone, reduces cortisol, and makes cells more sensitive to insulin. Intense exercise even increases your metabolism, boosting thyroid hormones for a brief time. And any type of exercise will boost testosterone. Exercise also increases DHEA, which props up your burned out adrenals to give you more energy, strengthen your libido, and help relieve depression. Exercise floods the body with endorphins, natural morphine-like biochemicals that cause the runner's high. Endorphins improve your body's reaction to stress, enhance your mood, and even increase your pituitary's release of growth hormone. To use exercise to balance your hormones, focus on these 7 suggestions. Note, if you're in the market for a step-by-step exercise program, I urge you to check out my first 2 books, Winning by Losing for Beginners or Making the Cut for Intermediate to Advanced. Get 4 to 5 hours a week. Forget that walk across parking lots and take the stairs fitness advice. You can't lose weight in 10-minute bursts of exercise. No, you need to get to the gym, work your ass off when you're there, and get the job done. You'll burn way more calories in less time and enjoy more hormonal benefits. Just 3 weeks of this level of exercise can start to reverse insulin resistance. Base your workout on strength training. Women who lift moderate to heavy weights produce more active growth hormone after their workouts and for a longer time than women who do other kinds of exercise. The greater your muscle mass, the higher your metabolism and the more sensitive to insulin your muscles become. This isn't limited to overweight people. Average weight people have much better hormone balance when they have more muscle. Use circuit training to combine cardio and weight training. Each of your 5 hours should be a combination of cardio and strength training. Circuit training does both. For example, do a set of squats, then immediately follow up with a set of push-ups. Repeat each set 3 times, then move on to 2 other exercises that work 2 different parts of the body and alternate those. There, your circuit training. It's that easy. Add extra cardio after your first 5 hours. You can add on extra hours of cardio only after you do your circuit strength training. Try adding a 30-minute to 1-hour session in for a powerful 2-a-day workout. Rebalance energy tactic number 3. Be good to yourself. Would you treat your kids the way you treat yourself? Would you want them to go without love, nurture, sleep, play? So why on earth would you treat yourself that way? If I could burn one message into your brain permanently, it would be this. Selfish is not a 4-letter word. Selfish does not mean narcissistic or conceited. It means healthy. I know from my own experience and from watching thousands of people change their lives that the only way to accomplish this is to put yourself first. Detox your circle of friends. We have specific neurons in our brains that make us automatically reflect the emotions of the people around us. Ask yourself who makes me feel bad about myself when I hang out with them. Who leaves me feeling drained? Take steps to minimize any time you spend with that person. Ask for help. No one gets anywhere in life without help. Ask for the promotion at work. Ask the in-laws to watch the kids so you can fit in your yoga class. Ask a trainer to teach you about exercise. One journal of the American Medical Association study found that people who had a brief monthly chat with a coach, usually just 10 to 15 minutes, maintained more weight loss than people who didn't have any kind of personal contact with one. Identify your sources of stress. When I lie awake at night with thoughts swimming around in my head, I get up and write them all down. I identify what is bothering me and I create a game plan to fix it. Learn to meditate. Meditation is to the mind what exercise is to the body. It strengthens the prefrontal cortex, a part of your brain that regulates emotion. When that part of the brain becomes stronger, research shows that people tend to be happier and bounce back faster from negative events. Try other forms of exercise. People who did Tai Chi and Qigong 3 times a week for 12 weeks significantly lower their BMI, waist circumference, and blood pressure. The participants had high blood sugar at the beginning of the study, but after 3 months, their HbA1c, fasting insulin, and insulin resistance had all decreased. Get a weekly massage. In a study of teenage girls with body image issues, those who'd received a massage had lower levels of anxiety, depression, and cortisol, and higher levels of dopamine, a neurotransmitter that enhances mood. Massage also elevates serotonin, the same action produced by many antidepressant medications. Please take your vacations. Working more than 40 hours a week doubles women's risk of depression and increases men's risk by 33%. But even with all this overtime, 1 out of every 3 of us doesn't take our allotted vacation time. Don't make yourself a sitting duck for a heart attack. You've earned that vacation. Take it. Once you rebalance your energy, all the pieces of the master diet plan fall into place. You're armed with a program that will help your ability to manage stress, whether psychological or environmental. You have the knowledge that you need to steer clear of toxins that damage your metabolism. You know what foods to eat and how to eat them to trigger your fat-burning hormones and keep your fat storage hormones low. In short, you have all the resources you need to handle any situation this crazy world can throw at you and come out leaner, cleaner, and happier for it. As soon as you can, check out the master meal plans and recipes in the PDF file that comes with this audio. I put together sample menus and 16 recipes that take all of the principles, power nutrient food groups, and strategies into account. Even if you decide you don't want to follow these to the letter, please just take a second to look them over. You'll be able to see very clearly how master your metabolism looks in real life. Welcome to your new metabolism. Okay, so here we are, at the end of the road, or should I say the beginning. Now, bolstered by the success in your diet and your lifestyle, I want you to continue these same 3 principles in all areas of your life. So this chapter is short and sweet. I want you to remove the crap from your life, the stress, the mental and emotional clutter you carry around with you, not to mention the physical clutter that can drain all your energy. Restore the good stuff. Take the time to appreciate the life that you've just extended. You know what makes you happy? Do more of it. Your hormones will automatically work a lot better. And rebalance. Understand that even when life throws you off for a while, you have an opportunity every day to strive for that balance. to move to a middle ground where you can enjoy just enough fun and excitement to keep things interesting, but also enough rest and rejuvenation to keep yourself sane and focused. Once you start applying these principles to your life in all areas, you'll see that they are the only three you'll ever need for your hormones, your health, and your happiness. I believe in this program. I believe in you. Some of what you've heard may be overwhelming, mind-boggling, scary. I know. I have felt the same way. But you do have the power to change anything in your life that you choose to, and at any point that you choose to do so. And remember, I'm right there with you, fighting the good fight, walking the walk, talking the talk. Let's take back our health, reclaim our lives, shake things up, and save the world. Together, we can affect change individually and globally. You will be hot, healthy, and happy. All you have to do is be aware, which you are now, and begin incorporating these changes into your life. Some of it might be tedious, but so what? You're gonna look and feel great. Isn't that worth it? And what is more important than your health? Health is the foundation your entire life rests upon. Investing in your health is committing to the pursuit of happiness. Investing in it is investing in you. And what stock is more valuable? This is Jillian Michaels. We hope you've enjoyed this production of Master Your Metabolism, the three diet secrets to naturally balancing your hormones for a hot and healthy body, by Jillian Michaels with Mariska Van Alst. This program was directed by Fred Saunders, executive producer Dan Zitt, abridgment by John McElroy. This program was edited at John Marshall Sound. Text copyright 2009 by Empowered Media LLC. Production copyright 2010, Random House, Inc. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.